time. If you hear anything in the Gemara, it's our prepared on the back. The Rambam lists off on his opinion on the 13 principles of faith of the Jewish religion. So one of them is, two of them are, number one, we believe in Nevuah. Number two, we believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon Hanavim. What's the big deal? Moshe Rabbeinu is Adon Hanavim. Who is bigger than whom? So Rav Soloveitchik delivered a hesped when his uncle, Rav Dov Vilna, passed away, that he later on wrote up. I think it's entitled, Madodech Midod. I think his son, Professor Chaim Soloveitchik, pronounces it Madodech Midod. In Tanakh, it's Madodech Midod in feminine, but here it's his uncle, it wasn't his aunt. So he pronounces it Madodech Midod. Okay. So part of the hesped was, he was saying that the big Talmid HaChamim in every generation, but his uncle was a different. His father, his uncle, his grandfather, they were different. And he kept on emphasizing, Loi Kein Abdi Moshe, kept on banging on the shtender. Moshe Rabbeinu was a greater Navi than the others. The Rambam, Zikr, and Emunah, that we believe Moshe Rabbeinu is Adon HaNavim, that's spelled out in the end of Parshas B'ha'aloyscha. What's the big deal about Moshe Rabbeinu? That all the other Navim, by definition, only have a Hayroa Shoah. Moshe Rabbeinu was given Hayroa Shoah, Nevuah, but he's also given Torah. Torah is a definition of the Dinim that Anoig L'dor is Torah Mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, that's the first Rashi and Parshas Tzav, writes from the Tanoim, from the Sifro, and Lashon Tzav, the Lashon Zeruz Miyara L'doris. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who was given Dinim L'doris. That's how the Gemara in the first Daf of Megillah points out, commenting on the concluding Pasuk in Chumash Vayikra, as well as the concluding Pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar, practically the same Pasuk with slight variation. Eila mitzvahs asher tziv Hashem es Moshe b'har Sinai al moed. So Eila is a miyut. Eila, these and only these are the mitzvahs. Mitzvahs means that it's binding l'doros. Asher tziv Hashem es Moshe. Ein novi rasha l'chadish dovim me'ato. No other novi other than Moshe Rabbeinu ever gave a din l'doros. The Rambam is emphasizing this, that by the Christians they believe in Moshe Rabbeinu, but they say that Yoshke came along and he said that the din no longer apply. And Islam says that Muhammad was a prophet, and he came along and he said that the laws of the Torah no longer apply. So the Rambam says, we don't accept that. We believe that that person is a Novi Asheker. If a person comes and he tells us on Shabbos, he demonstrates that he's a Novi. And then he tells us on Shabbos, Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us, Lahi Rosha, we should smoke a cigar today. So you listen. You have to listen to the Navi, even Lavar al Divrei Torah, if it's Lahi Rosha. But if it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed his mind regarding a certain mitzvah that it no longer applies, or Avodah Zarah as a Lahi Rosha, say, you know, B'yodua, that the person is a Navi, a Sheker. The Pasuk describes the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, Smunas Hashem Yabit. He was the only prophet who saw the image of God. What does that mean? God doesn't have any image. There's another one of the 13 Ikori Hemun of the Ramam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have any guf, ain't lo, he doesn't have any tmuna. So what do you mean, tmuna sashem yabit? So I think the Pashto says, tmuna sashem yabit, that all the mitzvahs, when you put them all together, the 613 mitzvahs, gives a description of Elokus. It's a description, derech mashal. Rav Chaim Volozhin writes in Nefesh HaChaim, if the Ribbono Shel Olam would describe Elokus, we wouldn't understand it. And even if he would give a mashal, we wouldn't understand it either. It would be way above our head. It's impossible for human being to understand it. That's the lotion that some of the Kuzari has and other philosophers from the Middle Ages have. Ili yidaitiv hayisiv, if I would understand what Elokus is, I would be HaKadosh Baruch himself. The only one who understands Elokus is the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Torah is called the mashal hakadmoni. Rashi on Parshas Mishpatim on the Pasuk Velikim Min Eliyod, Rashi quotes a Medrash commenting on the Pasuk in Sefer Shmuel. Kasha Yoyma HaMoshal HaKadmoni Merishayim Yetzei Rasha. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, the Moshal HaKadmoni is the Chumash, which is a Moshal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Chofetz Chaim says in his Sefer Shem Olam, what does it mean, a Moshal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he says, he writes it has a double meaning. Moshal authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word and letter for letter. That's why we're able to be medayik from words. How come it's spelled Moleh Chaser and so on? We're medayik from Moleh and Chaser. And it's also a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only a mashal authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's a mashal describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That like a photograph balas, the Chavetz Chaim writes, that if you never saw the king, and you happen to be in St. Petersburg, and you see this person, but you saw his picture in the newspaper, and you see him walking on the street with guards to the right and to the left, so biyodu, you can identify that that's the king, because he saw his photograph. So the Torah is a photograph of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what it means, the main ikir today that distinguishes between the Orthodox and the other streams in Judaism is the ikir in the Rambam, Shezos HaTorah Lo Se'im Uchlefes. The laws of the Torah are immutable. The others feel that even if some of them do believe in God, some of them don't believe in God. Judaism without believing in God. Others believe in God, but they don't believe in Torah Min HaShemayim. But even those who do believe in Torah Min HaShemayim, the main difference is that they think that the laws of the Torah can be changed. The Navi can come and change it. The rabbis have the ability to change it. And we insist, the laws of the Torah never change. Why such an obstinate insistence that the laws of the Torah never change? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik has in several of his published essays, that both Rav Chaim Volozhin and Nefesh HaChaim and the Baal HaTanya say the same explanation, because the laws of the Torah are a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Navi says about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi. Everything in the world keeps on changing, except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not part of the Bria. He was there before the world came, before he brought the world into existence. Everything in the Bria keeps on changing. That's why in modern physics, they told me, I never took physics, but in modern physics, they told me that everything is changing and going back to Tohu Vavohu. That's what they think. But it's clearly changing. Everything is changing. That's what the Poskim talk about. Maybe the Kizesim changed, maybe the Kibetzah changed, maybe the Tvachim changed, maybe the size of a human being. Everything could be a change. So how do you Paskin all the dinim? Does it depend on Kizais of your generation, or does it depend on Kizais and Kibetzah in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? So that's a serious question. The only thing that doesn't change is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we say the laws of the Torah never change, that's because we believe that the laws of the Torah, when you put everything together, it's a description of Elokus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence doesn't change.
So why even for Harasha, if it's supposed to represent Elokus, why even for Harasha would we change?
The Rebbe Shlomo wants you to do something. Usually the mitzvahs represent, when we observe the mitzvahs, we're acting out a description of Elokus. But once in a while, the Rebbe Shlomo wants us to do something that's not part of the description of Elokus. But it's not a fundamental change. The description of Elokus stays the same because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence stays the same. That's why. So this is the Iker and Emunah. Loichein Abdi Moshe, the Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one. Moshe Rabbeinu was given Hayruah Shoah also, but it was also given Dinim Ledor. That's what the Kedushas Levi points out on the Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Matos. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Zeh HaDobar Shatziva Hashem. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, all the prophets introduced in the book by saying, Koyamar Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu also starts off Koyamar Hashem. And Parshas Boy. Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level of Nevuah. He says, Zeh HaDobar Shatziva Hashem. What's the difference? So he says that Koyamar Hashem means that the Novi, including Moshe Rabbeinu, had a Chazon and a Chalom and a Mara HaNevuah. And then he describes what he saw using his own words. So he says, Koyamar Hashem. This is approximately what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing me in the vision that I was shown. But when it's a din l'doris, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictates word for word, letter for letter. And Moshe Rabbeinu will say, Zeh HaDavar Shetziv Hashem. This is direct dictation. And the only one who says Zeh HaDavar is Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu got to Hayru Ashoa, it says, Koyamar Hashem Kechatzoi Salayla Niyotzei B'soch Mitzrayim. Whenever he was told Hayru Ashoa, it was the same level of Nebuah as the other prophets. So the Pashtus is, people always assume that there's a connection between the Kriya and Haftar. Haftar is supposed to be Minyan of the Yoma. So the superficial connection between the Haftar of Baha'u'llah Yischa and the Parsha is about Menorah. The beginning of the Parsha starts with the Din of Menorah. And then the Haftar and the Nabi Zechariah, he sees a Menorah Shalzov, a beautiful golden Menorah. That's the Pash superficial connection. But if you look at it a little deeper, it could be that the connection is a different one. The Rambam and the Mor Nebuchim, when he draws a contrast between the Vuas Moshe Rabbeinu, that of the other prophets, The Rambam in the Mishnah Torah has it in Hilchas Yisod HaTorah. He says we believe in Nevuah, we believe Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is a higher level. And then he spells out the differences, the four differences between Nevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu, that of the other prophets. And he says Moshe Rabbeinu was Aspekloria Meira. He's quoting the Gemara. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was very crystal clear. The other Nevi'im were not that clear. And the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim gives the Moshel from this Haftarah from Zechariah, that the Malach shows a Mar HaNevuah de Zechariah HaNavi, and the Navi says, Mo'ela Adoni, I don't understand, what does it represent? So he says, you do understand. Halo Yadaita, and he says, no, I don't understand. Back and forth, till the Navi finally tells him. And we still don't understand what he told him until the next Perek in Zechariah explains what he showed him. So according to the Rambam, that section in Nevuah Zechariah, that's the Haftarah, brings out in a very short fashion the contrast between Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu and that of the other prophets. That Moshe Rabbeinu's was more Aspekloria Amira, and that of the other Nevi'im was less, much less Aspekloria She'ena Amira. So it could be that that's the more subtle connection between the Haftarah and the Sedra. The Parsha begins, Parsha Maloschel begins with the Din of Bechiras HaLevi'im. And part of their initiation to become Nevi'im, what that Levi'im, Shevet Levi, was Levi'ir Tara called B'sorim. They had to go to a mikveh. V'chipsu b'gdei mehi tahor. They had to go to a mikveh and be tovel their begodim as well. Levi'ir Tara, so the Mishnah says in Mishnah is Nekoyim Gimel, there were three people that tiglachta mitzvah. There's a mitzvah they should do tiglachas, and you only yotze if you use a tar. If you use a razor, so one is the Levim, Shevet Levi, that was on the Harosha, that was once in the history of the world. Then the other two, Adinim Ladaris, the Mitzoira, when he becomes Tohar, and then Ozir, when he completes his Man HaNaziris. So the Tiglachas has to be with a tar. The Mitzoira and the Levim have to shave off all the hair on their body, under the armpits and so on, all of the hair. The Nazir, the pasuk says, Kodesh Yeh Gadol Peres HaRosho, the hair on his head. The head is from the cheekbone over here and above. That's the head. There's Pas HaRosh, and then there's Pas HaZokhan. So Pas HaRosh is over here. The peis is up until the cheekbone. Then below the cheekbone is called Pas HaZokhan. So we usually assume that the Pas HaZokhan is only also bitar, but if you use a shaver, a lot of people are mekel. Men HaTorah for sure is mutter. Shayla midrabbanan, if there's an issa. Machlek is harishayna, whether there's an issa midrabbanan. And in the biography of the Chafetz Chaim that's written by his son, so the son writes that his father, the Chafetz Chaim, made a comment. He wrote a Mishnah Berurah. He had the whole project of putting out a Mishnah Berurah in Arachayim. He didn't put out on Yerideya. He said he doesn't know if he would put on Yerideya. He doesn't know how he would pasken regarding shaving with a shaver. He was not happy. He put out, Chafetz Chaim put out many little svarim. So one of the little kuntresim that he put out is about growing a beard. He was unhappy. Why all the people are shaving? Why the boys in yeshiva would shave? Those are the last years of his life. He lost his eyesight, so he couldn't see. So the boys were shaving and he didn't realize it. But he had published a sefer. He was not happy. He thought that you should be machmer, like those who shame that it's awesome at the Rabbanan to shave even shalot b'tar. But getting back again, so the Nazir says in the pasuk Gadol Peres HaRosho, Kidash is Rosho b'yomahu, only the hair on the head has kedusha. You're not allowed to shave off the beard. He can shave the beard while he's a Nazir if he wants to. He can be clean shaven. And when he finishes Naziris, he has to shave off the hair on top. Doesn't have to. If he wants, he can leave the beard. The beard was neither here nor there. It was never included in the din of Naziris in the first place. And when he terminates the Naziris, when he ends it, he doesn't have to shave off the beard. When they were writing a couple of years ago about women and which din and women have the same as men, whether women can be rabbis and so on, with chazanim, eh? So some of the rabbis wrote incorrectly that a woman can be a Nazira. That's true. That's a pasuk Chumash. A woman can be a Nazira. But they wrote about the man who's a Nazir, not allowed to shave his beard. That's not true. The beard, he is allowed to shave. Anyway, this was Hayrasha, the choosing of the Levim. The choice of the Levim is Lederis. The Levim have a special status today also. They're supposed to get the second Aliyah. That's the Mishnah and Gittin, Kohen Kari Rishon. And after him, the lady gets the Aliyah. And after him, you call Yisraelim. But the whole Yichus of the Levi is because the Shevet Levi is Mishamish the Kohanim. So the Gemara says there, Ein Sham Kohen, Nispardo HaChavilo. If there is no Kohen to call first, so then there is no requirement that you have to call the Levi first. Rashi and that Gemara has two pshatim, and the Gemara Perakan is Zokin. One pshat, it's not necessary to call the Levi first. You know, you're only mechuyev to be mechabed the Levi. If you mechabed the Kohen first, then you mechabed the Levi second. But if you're not, if there's no Kohen, then you don't have to call the Levi first if you don't want to. If you want to, because then, hey, the other pshat and Rashi, no, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to give the same degree of kavod to the Levi that's due to the Kohen. You have to give the Aliyah to somebody. So give it to Yisrael. Doesn't mean you're giving Yisrael the same degree of kavod that you give a Kohen. Someone has to get the first Aliyah. What, are you going to start from Shlishi and leave out the first two Aliyahs? It's, someone has to get the Aliyah. But if you choose Davke to give it to a Levi, that's not right. Rav Soloveitchik would always, sometimes he would come in on a day when there was Kriyas HaTorah, he would travel from Boston, he would miss Tefillah B'Tzibur, and he would miss Kriyas HaTorah. So he would always ask after Shir, is there anybody who missed Kriyas HaTorah today? And miraculously, every single time, there were always 10 full people who didn't hear Kriyas HaTorah. So they would lane. After the Shir, they would lane. And then they would lane, so if there would be no Kohen, so they would always call him to get the first Aliyah. So he would always insist, no, they shouldn't call him. He wanted them to be machma like that opinion. And Rashi, ancient kohen nispardo achavilo. I don't know if he really was choshish for Rashi shita, it was for educational purposes. He wanted us to know that there is such a shita. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Anyway, but then when the student said, so it says in the Mishnah Brura, you don't call a Levi. Whom do you call? He called the biggest Tamachachim. So they said, they call him the biggest Tamachachim. So he didn't want. He didn't want that. That was for educational purposes. He knew he was the biggest Tamachacham in that minyan, that's for sure. But there were only students there, so that's for sure. But he didn't want that. That was for educational purposes.
What do you mean, educational purposes?
The students should realize that there's such a day in Rashi that you're not supposed to call a Levi first. So he exaggerated a little bit, even though he was the biggest Tamachacham. They'll think that he's getting the Aliyah because he's a Levi, so he didn't want. Then the Torah repeats again. In Lesik, it says the Levim were counted. They did the Avodah from the age of 30. Here it says from the age of 25. So Rashi quotes on the Gemara. It took 5 years till they learned the Malacha. And then when they reached the age of 50, from 30 to 50, Mimelcha Mishin Shana Yoshem Mitzvah Avodah V'lay Avodah. That's retirement. They have to retire. So the Gemara says that that's only Hayrasha on the Midbar when they had Masa the Kosev, when they had to carry things, when they had to carry the whole day. They were traveling with the Mishkan. But Ladaris, there is no din like that. That Shanim Pasal and the Levim is only Hayrasha. It's not a din Ladaris. Then the Torah has a din, you have to bring Korban Pesach. This is really a big Chiddush. The din is that just like Pesach Mitzrayim was Hayrasha, the din the Doris is you only mechuyev to bring Korban Pesach if you mishesh lechelik ba'aretz, if you have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. That's a Gemara in the first perik in Psochim and the Ches on the base. Mishen lechelik ba'aretz is not chayiv in Aliyah l'regel. It says not chayiv in Aliyah l'regel. So Tosfos. And Dalin on the Besim, Sachem Tosis extended it. Mishen Lechelik Ba'aretz is not Chayvin Korban Pesach. Others disagree with the Tosis. On the side of the Tosis, they have printed, look in the Mishlam Melech, he says the whole Dibra Tosis, Tamua Mitchila Be'atzof, he doesn't agree. He thinks that that's only for Aliyah L'Regel. The Gemara learns that from Mevasa. Mishen Lechelik Ba'aretz, not Chayvin Aliyah L'Regel. But Mishen Lechelik Ba'aretz is part of Korban Pesach, he thinks that that's not correct. Anyway, Pesach Midbar. Some Paschim, many Paschim, all that Pesach Midbar was a Hayrua Shoah. That's how they answer the Kasha. The Gemara says that Pesach Midbar, the Pesach that they brought in the Midbar, was on, I think, on Shabbos. The first day Pesach was Sunday, and Erev Pesach, when you bring the Korban Pesach, Erev Pesach was Cholias B'Shabbos. So how come in the days of Hillel there was a suffix where the Korban Pesach is Derech Shabbos? Why didn't they know from the Midbar? According to the Gemara's tradition, the Pesach Midbar was only brought the first year. All the other 39 years they didn't bring Korban Pesach because the weather conditions were such that it was a little unhealthy. So most of the Shvatim didn't perform Bris Mila. If your children are Akamalt, so Mila Sabenes Ma'akev Melechel B'Korban Pesach, only Shevet Levi was Mal their children. So the Gemara says that they didn't bring Korban Pesach the whole time in the Midbar, only the first year, and the rest of the years they didn't bring. So that's the Achrenim Abadah with the Kasha. How can it be that they didn't know what the din is? The Korban Pesach is Derech Shabbos. Pesach Midbar was on Shabbos. First day Pesach was on Sunday that year. So that's the Mahalach of the Torah, said that Pesach Midbar was a Hirashua and Doris Mishol Le'afin. You can't learn out a Din L'Doris from a Hirashua. Maybe everything was a Yotzim and Aklam. Anyway, so they brought Pesach Midbar the first year, and then the Torah discussed, they were Tmei Mesim, Le'ochel Asah Pesach, and they come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they ask, what should we do? Nachta Tmei L'Nefesh Odom. You want to bring Korban Pesach. Moshe Rabbeinu does know what to do. So, Imdu Yeshma Ma'itzav Hashem Lachem. He initiates the Nevuah, and the Baruch Shalom comes to give him the other Nevuah, can initiate a Nevuah. Only Moshe Rabbeinu. That's one of the differences between Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah that of the others. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him the din that if a person is Tomei Meh, he's Tomei B'derech Rechoiko, they should bring Pesach Sheni. The Ramban in his introduction to Chumash writes, the Gemara has a lotion. Tariag mitzvahs nemelal Moshe misina. All the 613 mitzvahs are told to Moshe Rabbeinu Harsina. One of the 613 mitzvahs is that you bring a Pesach Sheni. So the Ramban says obviously that was not told to Moshe Rabbeinu, and something in Hilchas Yerusha was not told to Moshe Rabbeinu because when the Benos Lavchot came. So he said also in the Vieshma Ma'itzav Hashem Lachem. He didn't know what the answer is. So obviously not every single din. When the Gemara says, all the Tariq HaMitzvah, Nehmer LaMoshe Messina, it's a little bit exaggerated. A little bit is not so, because Muchach from the Chumash, that some of the dinim are not told to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yehu brings the Pesach Sheni. One is that any Tomei the Pesach Rishain, whoever was Tomei wasn't able to bring, brings Pesach Sheni, or B'Derech Rechoki. What's the definition of Derech Rechoki? That's it. Derech Rechoka means there's a machlekes hatanoim, and the way we assume la aloche, the Rambam paskens la aloche, whoever is more than 15 mil away from Yerushalayim on Erev Pesach, what time on Erev Pesach? So Rashi and Tosfos learn at Chatzos on Erev Pesach when the Chiyuv Korban Pesach is chal, and then you have to bring it before Shkia. So if he's so far away from Yerushalayim at Chatzos on Erev Pesach, when the Chiyuv is Chal, so then the Chiyuv is not Chal on him, because he's more than 15 mil away. More than 15 mil away, so you're not able to reach Yerushalayim if you go by foot. What if you go by horseback? So the Gemara says, for sure you'll arrive. If you go by automobile, for sure you'll arrive. So why does it depend on going by foot? So that's what the Talmidim of the Nerdi Behuda, well, Mesupik, is this a halacha Moshe Messina? Kach nemar halacha, that it depends on walking by foot. So even when the third base Hamikdash will be built, and we'll have trains, and we'll have automobiles, we'll have helicopters, we'll have airplanes, everything depends on who's within 15 mil from Yerushalayim. The Mishnah says, Mena Modim v'lifnim. Modim is exactly 15 mil away, and you draw a circle around Yerushalayim, so whoever is within that radius, 15 mil is Derech Kroiva, whereas outside is Derech Rechoka. So that's going to be the din Lasi Lava also, or maybe the din is one day's traveling for the traveler who's going the way Rove travelers go. So Rove travelers Bizman Moshe Rabbeinu, and Rove travelers Bizman by Shrishim would go by foot. Maybe today most Rove travelers would clearly not go by foot. They would go by horseback or go by train. Who would go by horseback? They would go by train or go by automobile or something. So maybe the Derech Rechoka has a different shear, Bizman Hazeh. So that was a deal that the Gedolim had. So they said, we won't know the answer. When Lasid Lava, when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built, Mestama, there'll be Tchias HaMeisim at that time, so we'll ask Moshe Rabbeinu what the din is. But meanwhile, how do we pass? What do we mean? Well, no one's bringing any Korban Pesach. So they said, no, meanwhile, the din of Derech HaChoyka is relevant in Hilchas Avelus. We have a din in the Gemara, and we pass in Moed Katan, the third parak Moed Katan has all the din of Avelus, of the family sitting Shiva, and someone, one of the relatives comes, even the last day of Shiva. That's how we pass. One opinion is only if it comes within the first 3 days. We don't accept that shita. We say even if it comes the last day, calls man that the le'omdu ha-menachmim me'etzma, they didn't declare mikzus hayam kukula yet. They were sitting Shiva in the morning, and the menachmim didn't leave yet. So then, if another member of the family comes, and he finds out that a relative died, so, and he came miderech kreiva, he came imakam karev as opposed to makam rachik, he came from a closer location. So then, money imahim. So he finishes the shiva with them. What's the definition of makam karev, makam rachik? So Tosfos quotes from the Rif, or quotes from the Rav Haigoin. The Goinim have like this that is based on derech rachika over here. Derech rachika over here, you only calculate a half a day. According to Rashi and Tosfos, from Chatzos till Shkia. At Chatzos, you determine where is the person. If the person is Tesvav Mil away from Yerushalayim, he won't be able to reach Yerushalayim before the Shkia, so he won't be able to be Makar of the Korban Pesach. The Rambam has a different sheet to Derech Rechoike. He says it depends at Alos HaShemesh, at Zricha. Why not Alos HaShachar is a question. It's a good question. The Rambam says, I think it's at Zricha. Where is the person at Zricha? Will he arrive in Yerushalayim by Chatzos? Why does it depend on Chatzos? You can bring the Korban Pesach. You don't begin to bring the Korban Pesach till the end of the day. So that's a question. Why the whole Rambam is this strange? Why does it depend where the person is at Zricha? And why does it depend whether he'll be able to arrive in Yerushalayim by Chatzos? It's the same shir as Rashi and Tais, but Rashi and Tais say, where are you at Chatzos? Will you succeed in arriving in Yerushalayim by Shki or not? So the days of the Gemara, the days of the Baisheni, they knew that the person, if he goes by horseback, he can be twice as far away, he can be much further away than 15 mil, but he will arrive in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara has a machlokes ha-maroim. Next to the last perek in Misha Hayatami, next to the last perek in Psochem, last perek is all about the Haggadah, about Tzipit, about the Seder. Next to the last perek is all about Pesach Sheni. So Gemara there has a machlokes ha-maroim. A Tomei who became a Mun on a Korban Pesach, so he can't eat a Kazayis. He can't be a Mun. What about if the fellow is Bederech Rechoika? We give him a leniency that we allow him to bring Pesach Sheni, but if he becomes Mumuna and the Pesach Rishon and he hustles and he goes by horseback and he arrives in Yerushalayim, so it's good. It's a good mina. Or do you say no? We paskin no. He cannot become a Mumuna. If he's Derech Rechoike, he cannot become a Mumuna on a Korban Pesach. That's how we paskin. He cannot become a Mumuna. So the Talmidim of the Nadi Behuda had this shaila, this machlokes, what's going to be when the average traveler will no longer go by foot, they'll go by horseback, or they'll go by car, or by train. Maybe the din should change. So how are we going to paskin now in Hilchas Avelus? Hilchas Avelus doesn't depend on a half a day, it depends on a whole day's traveling. 40 mil. Malachon Beinu Nibayom, Esa Parso. Esa Parso is 4 mil. So Esa Parso is 40 mil. Means 1 day's traveling, but for Korban Pesach purposes, it all depends on a half a day's traveling. So the minig, whenever you have a machlokes in Hilchas Avelus, so the Gemara says halachik deram nekel ba'ovel. You always go lekula, because that's a klal. Sofik Avelus lekula. So bizman as we nekel, even if the person came many miles away, he comes to the base of Ovel before the shiva is up. So then money imaim, he finishes the shiva with the rest of the family who's sitting there. Yeah, the shaila is that today, if you have airplanes, you can come from the furthest place in the world within 1 day. You can come from New Zealand, South Africa, whatever. You can always arrive within 1 day. So the whole din of Derech Rechoike doesn't exist anymore. So Moshe Feinstein said you have to have a limit. Even if you hold that it depends on the average traveler, the average traveler would go by plane. If you're going from one continent to the other, it's not going to go by boat. So, but you have to have a limit. So Moshe thought the limit has to be at least on the same continent. If you're on a different continent, it doesn't count. So he didn't hold like this. He held that if the Avelim went to Eretz Yisrael and they come back to America, Eretz Yisrael and America is a different continent, and there is no such din. He wouldn't say money in mine. The one who went to Eretz Yisrael counted, he starts Shiva over there. The ones who started over here a day earlier, so they start earlier, and they finish a day earlier, and he finishes a day later. He said the whole din of Derech HaChayka shouldn't apply, because you have to limit it a little bit. Anyway, but that's interesting. The din of Derech HaChayka applies Bizman HaZeh. What they both have one thing in common. The person is in a different location, and he relates to Yerushalayim. That's his makam, because he plans to arrive in Yerushalayim. So it's considered as if Yerushalayim is his makam. Here also, he's going to be... He's in a different location, and he relates to the location where the family is sitting Shiva, even though he's not there in the beginning of the Shiva. But if he comes Mimacham Karev, so then he relates to that place. We, Bechlal, a big shaila whether we have a din of Godel Abayis, this whole din, that if someone comes Mimacham Karev, so Mayim, he finishes Shiva with the people who are here. So the Maram Shik has a tshuva where he discusses the following shaila. They had no telephones years ago. So a person he travels by train to visit his parents. So he gets off at the train station in the city where his parents live. And then he's about to go to his parents' home. So someone says, oh, your mother passed away. Family's sitting shiva. He had no idea. Then he comes to the home. They're all sitting shiva because the mother died. But he found out about the fact that they're sitting shiva before he came to the Beis HaOvel. So the Maram Shik said the whole din of the money Mohim doesn't apply. Only applies if the idea of the death of the relative took place in the Beis HaOvel. But if he had the idea before, so the whole din doesn't apply. So by us it never applies. Everybody finds out right away by telephone. So the whole thing is non-existent. And others have others. Only if you have a Godel Abayis. Godel Abayis means that one member of the family is making all the decisions. Today, we're not all in the same business. Each one, I have 9 children. They're all in touch with each other, but nobody runs anybody else's business. They're not b'shutfus together. Everybody does their own thing. So there's no din. Many say there's no din of Bomi Mokin Korah Bizman HaZeh. It's very questionable. Anyway, that's the din. What is Pesach Sheni all about? So Rashi writes, on Pesach Sheni, there's only a din. You have to eat Korban Pesach Matzah Mor. A Matzah Semrayim Yochluhu. But there's no Issa Chometz, Rashi says. There's no Issa Chometz. It's only... Where's the Rashi? There's no isam malacha. Pesach Shein is not a yont. Ein sham yontif. Ve'ein isa chametz ale'ima bachilosa. So the simple reading of the Rashi is there's no isa chametz. There's no bayiroa. But ima bachilosa, when you're eating the korban Pesach, you're not allowed to eat chametz in conjunction with the korban Pesach. So that's when the Menchas Chinuch says, where did Rashi get that from? There's no source for this in the Gemara. Who says that it's also to eat chametz in the same meal that you're eating the Korban Pesach? So others say, no, that's how you read the Rashi. Ein sham yontif, Pesach Shein is not a yontif, it's mutam of locha, but ein is a chametz at all, ela ima bachilosa, he can eat the chametz with the Korban Pesach. Not, there's no is a chametz other than ima bachilosa. You're not allowed to eat chametz. No, you are allowed to eat. Others read the Rashi, ein sham is a chametz, ela ima bachilosa, he's allowed to eat chametz with the Korban Pesach. The opposite from the way the Minchas Chinuch read the Rashi, and according to the Minchas Chinuch's time, there's nothing wrong. The Meshech Chochma read the Rashi the way the Minchas Chinuch did. The Rashi says, you're not allowed to eat chametz with the Korban Pesach. And he dug up a Tosefta. He quotes a Tosefta that just like we have a din of Bayra by Matzei for 7 days, so too, there is a din of, for those who are observing Pesach Sheni, so there's a din of Bayra for 1 day. Woo! Such a tasefta, and he thinks that that's the din. Very surprising. Yeah, we every so often we discuss the topic of Gershon is guy cut and shenola domi. So we discussed it last week in Parshas Nasai that Pashtus is where did the Chasam Seif and the Chidushaman Masechas Avodah Zarah raise the question: where in the world did the Tanoim get this wild idea from that there's a din of Gershon is got cut in Shinal Adami. So the Chassam Sofer says maybe they got it from the Pasuk, the Parsha of Gez Lager, that it says if you stole from someone and you swore falsely, that you don't owe him the money, so you have to pay Karen B'chaymesh, and then you have to bring Asham Gezelos. And if the person from whom you have to pay Karen B'chaymesh to the person whom you swore falsely to, the person whom you cheated. And what happens if the person died already? So you give the money to his Yoshim. And what happens? Mainly, Ishgoel Hashiv Hashem Elov. What if the Nigzal died and there's no one to give the money to because he doesn't have any relatives? Then it's one of the 24 Matan Skunin. That's in the end of Baba Kama, starting from Daf Kuf Yud. So in the Mishnah has all these interesting dinim of Gezlager. It's one of the Chof Talad Matan Skunin. So the the Loshan HaPasuk is mainly Ish Goy LaHashiv HaHashem Elov. So the Chazal say the Chayesh HaChadim Yisrael Shein Loi Goyalim. How is it possible that a Jew died when he doesn't have any relatives? You don't have any. He never got married, has no children. He has brothers and sisters, has no siblings, has no cousins. He has to have 10th cousins. He has to have some relatives. It's not possible. It refers to Gezel Lager. Gershon Meis Vein Lo Yoshim, because Gershon is God cut in Shinal Adami. So the Chassam Sofer said that how do you know that that's the pshat in the pasuk? Unless the Tanaim had a tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu that that's the pshat. But he says from the pasuk itself, you can't really tell. That means ein liish goy lahashiv hashmel. We don't know of any close relative. Everybody has a relative. Maybe there's no such din as Gershon is God cut in Shinal Adami. Maybe there is no such din. It just means if the Nigzal dies and we don't know any of his relatives, we don't have any notion who is related to. So then you give it to the Kohen. Who says that it's Parsha's Gezel Ager? Maybe it's Gezel from someone. You don't know who the person is. So that's his time. How do you know? Where do they get this idea of Gershon is Gershon Shinal Adami? So we mentioned on different occasions that the Meiri says the Mokar is Teres Sedra. It says, if a Jew worshipped Avodah Zarah, it says you're not allowed to give Kol Benecha Lo Yechal Bo. It says in Parshas Bo, you're not allowed to give Korban Pesach to a Ben Necher. A Ben Necher doesn't refer to a non-Jew, it refers to a Jew. Mishin is Nakur Maisav, Loviv Shabashamayim. A Jew who worships Avodah Zarah, so you can't give him a share in the Korban Pesach. Matzah you can give him, and Mori you can give him. That's not an Aver, but Korban Pesach has Kedusha. So you're not allowed to give Korban Pesach to a person who is Avodah Zarah. What if he once worshipped Avodah Zarah and he did Tshuva? So Tosfos assumes that double portion. Once he does true, he's not an Ovid Abedazar. So then you may give him Korban Pesach. And the Meiri there in Psochem on Daf Chav Ches quotes Chachma Hador Shalafaneinu, which usually is a reference to the Ramban. He says Chachma Hador Shalafaneinu said once the person worshipped Abedazar during his lifetime, for the rest of his life he can't eat Korban Pesach. He's knocked out. He can't eat Korban Pesach. There is such an idea. So he quotes the Mishnah says that the Kohenim Shishim Shem Beis Chanyo, there was a Beis Hamikdash in Alexandria, I think, that was called Beis Chanyo, and there's the Tanoim weren't sure what was going on over there. Was it a Beis Avodah Zarah, or was it a Beis Hamikdash LaShamayim, but it was Shchut Techutz? They're not sure what was going on. So the Mishnah has a din, Kohenim Shishim Shem Beis Chanyo, lo yisham shabai Mikdash. Any Kohen who brought Karbanis, as a Kohen, he functioned as a Kohen in Beis Chanyo in Alexandria. You may not let him, even if he does tshuva later on, not allowed to let him be makor karbanos in the Beis Hamikdash. One of the pshatim is because he worshipped Avodah Zarah. So even though now he did tshuva doesn't help. So the Meiri has one opinion that the same is regarding Kol Benecha LeYachal Bo. One who ever worshipped Avodah Zarah during his lifetime can never eat Korban Pesach for the rest of his life. So he raises the question, so how does a ger eat Korban Pesach? Pesach Lashem, how can it be? But he probably worshipped Avodah Zarah before he converted. So he said, that's the answer, is a pasuk says, Gershon is a guy cut in Shinal Adami. That's a very unusual understanding of Gershon is a guy. Gershon is a guy means the whole past record is wiped off. It's considered as if he never worshipped Avodah Zarah. We usually assume that is not the pshat. Cut in Shinal Adami. Cut in Shinal Adami means he's not related to his relatives before. The Gemara has it in three places. The Gemara says, Gershon is gar, that Minatora the Ger is allowed to marry his sister because he's not related. Then the Gemara has it in two brothers who convert to Akosha La'edas together, even Aloha La'maisa. the brother and the sister are not allowed to get married mid the Rabbanon. But the two brothers can even be made halacha lemaisa, even mid the Rabbanon, it's okay. Then the third thing the Gemara has is benegiah to Yerusha. If the ger converts, and whether the father converts or not is irrelevant, the father dies, and the ger does not get the Yerusha. Because so the Gemara only has a benegiah to Kurva. But some Rishonim extended it, that you really wipe off the whole past of the person. And if you look in Eben Ezer, the very last page in Eben Ezer tells the story that the Tosfos has in the beginning of Ksubis and in Soita, and different Mesichtas, Tosfos talks there was a Jewish woman who was married, and then she had an affair with a non-Jew, probably in the days of the Crusades, when they were traveling Shem Shamayim, so they had a little fun on the way. So the Jewish woman, to save her life probably, she violated the Losinov, so she had to get divorced from her husband. And then the Goy decided to convert. So the Goy becomes Jewish. So now there was a big machlekes there, Ben Tam and the other Bali Atosis, is she allowed to marry the Goy after he converts? We usually say that it says, V'nitma, V'nitma, Parshas Saita, Parshas Noso, Echel Abab, Echel Leboil, Echel Letruma, that the Eshes Ishes Insel is Asur Leboil. So should you say over here, Asur Leboil? Or maybe I should say she's Materis Leboil. Why should you say Materis Leboil? So they have three different svaras. You look in the Bir Agron, the last page in Eben Ezer, he quotes the three different views of the Bali Atosis. Rabbi Natam says that Bir Sakam Lav Shma Bir, that he's not called the Boil. She's Asura the Baila, even though it's not called Ein Biyasa Bir, a Goy is Ein Biyasa Bir, but she had a Maisa Yishus with someone other than her husband. So that's enough to Asa the Baila. But to Asa the Boil, he has to be the Boil. So according to Rabbi Natam, Bir Sakam Lav Shma Bir, so he's not called the boil. And other Rishonim give a different hesbe. They say no. They say the only time you say the woman becomes asura leboil is if the situation is such, if not for the fact that she was mezana with him, she would have been with Teres to marry him at the time that she was mezana. But over here, he was a goy anyway. So she couldn't have married him at the time that she was mezana. The isa leboil was never chal. Something like Enisa Chalalisa. You don't, she's Asura because of intermarriage. Even though later on the Goy converts, and now there's no longer an Isra of Nisue Taru, no longer an Isra of intermarriage, but there's no Isra of Asura. Then the third sheet that the Rishonim gave, they quote the Rabban Echilmi Parisa because Gershon it's got cut in Shinola Dami. So that could cut in Shinola Dami. The other Rishonim don't accept that because they disagree in principle. Gershon Hizgara does mean you cross off the whole, you wipe off the whole past history of the Goy. Let's say a non-Jew borrowed $100,000 from the bank and then he converts, he doesn't have to pay back the money. He doesn't have to pay back the money. There's no such thing, Kukot and Shinola Dami, you wipe off the whole past history. It's the Pash, this is most of the Shonim Hal, it's only a din in Kurva. So this is also, this Me'iri is a big Chiddush. That you say, the Pasik is the marker of Gershon Hizgara, Kukot and Shinola Dami. That really a ger who worshipped Avodah Zarah should be knocked out, he should never be allowed to participate in a Korban Pesach for the rest of his life, because that's a sheet of the Chachma Adorish Olufaneinu that the Meiri quotes on Daf Chav Ches on the base of Pesachim. But we say Kikot and Shana L'Dami, so the whole past is wiped away.
If the source for a ger Shana's Gar Kikot and Shana L'Dami would be the Goel, then that would disprove that theory anyway, because if you're wiping out the entire past, then there's no ownership of the land. So you wouldn't, if the problem is, like, you go to the Kohen because there's no Goel on the land that he owned, then it's about his relatives, but if the land is still his before it gets taken away. But if he's a Kohen Shinola Dami, he never had ownership of the land. If we're applying this completely, meaning that the Bia that he had with the woman wasn't the Bia, or the debts he had aren't his debt, I mean, the land he owned isn't his land. So the reason he should go to the Kohen is not because there's no Goel, and he doesn't have any relatives, it should be because he never owned land, because he's a new person, and there's no past to him.
But let's say in today's parasha, it doesn't go on land. Let's say the non-Jew converted, and then made $1 million after he converted, and then I borrowed money from him, and I lie, I swear to him falsely that I don't owe you any money, and then I admit that I lied, I swore falsely, so I have to give back the amount of money plus chomesh. But he didn't convert in between. He made all his money after he converted. Maybe he taka loses his ownership. That's wild to say. Every guy who converts loses all the money that he has in the bank saved up. He loses all the money. It's not true. There is no such thing. But that doesn't say over here. maybe over here, he earned all the money after he converted. But then he dies. It said, mainly Ishgoyle, Hashiv Hashmel. There's no one alive. He has no Yoshim to pay the Karim L'Chaimish to. Anyway, that's the institution of Pesach Sheni. They bring Pesach Sheni. Today, the Minig Ashkenaz is that you do say Tachnun on Pesach Sheni, and you Dalid ear, because it's not a calendaric day. Pesach Sheni, the Gemara comes to the conclusion, the Babli comes to the conclusion, Pesach Sheni is a month after Hakrovas Pesach Rishon B'Tahara, Aidei Roif HaTzibor, which we haven't had for many centuries. We didn't have Hakrovas Pesach Rishon Aidei Roif HaTzibor B'Tahara. So there is no Pesach Sheni. There's no Pesach Sheni to talk of at all. So that's why Minig Ashkenaz is that you do say Tachnun on Pesach Sheni. Minig Svar is a Zecher, that there used to be a Pesach Sheni. So that's why they leave that Tachnun. Then you have the Bata Masoyas. When Moshe Rabbeinu, starting from Revi, when Moshe Rabbeinu completed the construction of the Mishkan, so there was a Kiseh Onan as HaMishkan Le'oil Ho'edus. And at night there was a Mara Esh, so that people wouldn't travel unless the Amud Ha'onan or the Amud Ho'esh would go to a different location. But otherwise they wouldn't travel. Ha'pi Hashem Yachno, Ha'pi Hashem Miso, Es Mishmeres Hashem Shamar, Ha'pi Hashem B'yad Moshe. Many are makbe not to say kol psuka de loy paske moish anan loy paskina. So when they do hagba, when they pick up the sefer Torah, everybody screams up zosot Torah shasam moish levdam in Israel. That's a pasuk. Then he say al pi Hashem biad moishe. That's a half of a pasuk. That says over here al pi Hashem biad moishe. So they quote from Rabbi Chaim Valojina. He was makbe after he say zosot Torah shasam moish levdam in Israel. He would say this whole pasuk. Alpi Hashem Yachnu, Alpi Hashem Yiso, Es Mishmeres Hashem Shamaro, Alpi Hashem B'Yad Moshe, in order to say that last line. Alpi Hashem B'Yad Moshe. No. Okay. They were traveling in the mid, but everything was, the whole traveling was a Haru Asho. Then Moshe Rabbeinu is instructed to make Shtei Chatzoitzes Kesef. What, for what purpose? For two purposes. L'mikro Ho'edo, L'masa Zamachnos. L'mikro Ho'edo, to gather together, kruei ho'eda, means those who would gather together on special occasions. We said before Yontif, and on Yontif we were speaking about it, that the Chumash and Parshas and more describe Shabbos and Yontif as mikra kodesh. So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash interprets mikra kodesh means a day of holy assemblage, when all the Jewish people, all the kehillahs gather together for dvarim shebikdusha, to have tefillah b'tzibur, and to have Talmud Torah b'tzibur, to have Kriya Sator, and to have Drasha Sachacham. Special Indian to have Drasha Sachacham, because the people work all week long. So they can only hear a Drasha Sachacham on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You have to make sure you have Drasha Sachacham. You have to make sure you have Kriya Sator. So that's Mikra Kodesh. So the Beis Yosef writes in Hilchas Pesach, he thinks that the Misadri HaTfilah, Danchek Nestor Gedolah, who composed the Nusach HaTfilah, must have held like the Ramban, that the Pshuto Shal Mikra, Mikra Kodesh, means a day of holy assemblage. We should gather together to daven together and to learn together, because otherwise, why did they incorporate this phrase, Mikra Kodesh, into the Shemona Esrei, into the Amidah, into the davening? The Gemara says Mikra Kodesh means Osam Basiyas Malach, the Gemara in the end of Rosh Hashanah. So why do you mention it in the middle of Shemona Esrei that the day is Osam Basiyas Malach? What does it have to do with the davening? But if he should assume that that's pshat, Mikra Kodesh, a day of holy assemblage, to have tefillah b'tzibur, so we understand why that phrase was incorporated into the Nusach HaTfilah. The Prim Gaon points out that the Ramban is the one who is of the opinion that tefillah b'chol yom is only the Rabbanon, but tefillah b'tzibur is the Raisa on Shabbos and Yontes. Tefillah b'tzibur, the whole tefillah b'chol yom is only the Rabbanon, but tefillah b'tzibur is the Raisa on Shabbos and Yontes. That we mentioned the Prim Gaon and Hilchos Shavuos writes that where he lived, he was from Galicia, he was a Galiciana, but he had a job in Frankfurt, in Germany. So he writes, he wasn't in that Frankfurt, there were two cities, Frankfurt, one on the Frankfurt on the Main River, Frankfurt on the Oder. So he was he had a job, he was malamed for young children in Frankfurt on the Oder River. So he writes that the practice used to be on Leil Shavuos, everybody stayed up a little bit, and then the older people went to sleep, and the only ones that stayed up till the morning were the younger people. So when you come in the morning and you daven Vasik and you daven Shachris and you daven Musaf, you barely have a minyan, and it's questionable if you have really a minyan of people who are bar mitzvah. He takes it literally. You need tefillah b'tzibur, 10 gedolim, 10 adults past bar mitzvah. In order to be bar mitzvah, you have to have shana v'simonim. It's not enough that you're past 13 years old. You have to have shtei sairis. So the Gemara says, usually we don't check to see if the person has shtei sairis. We assume kol shehigia l'chlal shanim, probably higia l'chlal simonim. If he's 13 years old, the girl's 12 years old, she probably has the shtei sairis also. So the Magen Avraham, there's a steer in the Magen Avraham. So in one place the Magen Avraham says, with respect to dinim deraisa, you shouldn't rely on chazaka derava. That's Rava's chazaka. Rava in Maseches Nida says like that. You shouldn't rely on chazaka derava, you should check. Rav Soloveitchik said that when they used to have the oral bechinas for the smicha, so it used to be Dr. Belkin was officially the Rosh Hashiva. Rav Soloveitchik was a Magid Shia, he was not officially Rosh Hashiva. And the third one was Rav Moshe Shatzkis. He was the stepson of Rabbi Bitzela Petaburga. Rabbi Bitzela's third wife had children from her previous marriage. Rabbi Bitzela's first wife didn't have any children. And he said, in those days they didn't know. They had no way to figure out who's the one who's not fertile. So the Gemara, it says, if you're married to a woman for 10 years, so you should really get divorced and marry someone else instead. But he was a big balmusa, so he didn't want to bring up the issue with his wife. He's married the wife more than 10 years, but she brought it up. Would he be interested in marrying someone else? So he said, now that you mention it, yes. So he got divorced from the first wife, and he was the rabbi in St. Petersburg, so he was paid a tremendous salary. So he set her up for the rest of her life. He put away money in a savings account to take care of his first wife. Then the second wife he married, and he had no children. And the third wife had previously had children from a previous man. She was an almana. And then he had children from her. So there, Moshe Shatzkis was this, he used to be a Magid Shir here. He was a rabbi in Lomzhin in Europe. And then he came here in the yeshiva. I just remember him. When I was in high school, he passed away. And I remember Rav Soloveitchik said it has, but that's the whole Shaykhus. I never heard him speak. Rabban Lichtenstein learned Rav Moshe Shatzkis when he came to the yeshiva. He would tell us all the things in his name when we learned in the Kolo. But I never heard him speak. I just remember the Rav delivered a husband. He was something like 6.5 feet tall. I remember that. He was very tall. He was very tall. So he said, Rav Soloveitchik said, when they would give b'chinas, Rav Moshe Shatzkis would always ask, what's chazaka de rova and what's chazaka de rabba? The boys, no one knew. So one of them, I think chazaka de rova is a Gemara Nida, that when a girl is 12 years old, you assume that she probably has shtei sairis. So that's why, let's say, when a girl has to do chalitza, so she has to be a gdaila. She can't do chalitza before she's a bas mitzvah. But you don't have to have, strictly speaking, you should require two men to check on the girl's body to see if he has shtei sairis. That's not derech eretz. So they had women check. How can you rely on women? So the Gemara said, because mikra din, we assume that she probably does have shtei sairis, because chazaka derovin. Kol shegil echlal shanim, egil echlal simonim. And it's only lechumra that you want to check. So, if you have a woman check, and the woman says that she has shtei sairis. So machronim hol chazaka derovin is only by women, not by men. So machronim hol like that. And then Chazaka de Rabba is a different Gemara. That's in Yevamah's Daf Lamed Aleph. That's called Machzik Meisa Leisa. That's a different story. Totally different din. So you say, Rav Moshe Shatzkis used to ask on the Smicha Bechinas, what's Chazaka de Rabba? What's Chazaka de Rabba? And I don't think anybody knew the answer. Anyway, so the Prima Gaon points out, he says, Prima Gaon is very surprising. He says, the Ramban is a surprising Ramban. The Ramban holds tefillah b'chol yom is only the Rabbanan. The Ramban holds it, there's a chiyuv to daven min haTorah once a day, every day you have to daven min haTorah. The fact that you daven three times a day, that's min deRabbanan. The particular nusach haTefillah, that's min deRabbanan. But in principle, you have to daven once a day, every day is deRaisa. The Ramban disagrees. He says you only have to daven when there's a crisis, when there's a a flood and when there's an epidemic or when there's a melchama or something. But tefillah b'chol yom is only the Rabbanan, but tefillah b'tzibur is the Raisa on Shabbos Yont. All right, that's the Ramban. And then the Prima Godim assumes that every single tefillah is the Raisa. Even though you daven in shul, Mayriv, Leil Yontif, for sure, everybody was together, there was tefillah b'tzibur. But on Yontif in the morning, he says, all the older people go to sleep, and the only ones who stay up are those who were just recently bar mitzvah. So if Daman is happens to be, a few people are davening at the Vasikin Minyan, they may not have a minyan of Gedolim for sure. They'll have a minyan, they'll have 10 people past the age of 13. But with respect to Dinam Deraisa, we're machmal like that line in the Magen Avraham that you have to be Boidik de Simonim to make sure that the person is really a Gadol. And the Prima Gadol thinks that every tefillah that you offer on Yontav has to be tefillah b'tzibur. That's a big chiddush. Pashta says that tefillah b'tzibur is Deraisa means the community should organize a tefillah b'tzibur. Who says I have to daven in tefillah b'tzibur? Even if you say you do have to daven tefillah b'tzibur, I daven ma'ariv b'tzibur, I daven mincha b'tzibur. Means every single tefillah has to be tefillah b'tzibur. It's a chiddush. Chiddush what the Prima Gadol says. There's a Shabbos Tshuva Sefer that was written after the First World War in Europe by one of the Rabbanim. So his son wrote the Hakdama to the Sefer. So the son writes that his father got smicha at a very young age. He was 17, 18. And he got smicha from different gedolim, and then he went to the Avnei Nezer, went to the Sochet Shav Rebbe also to get smicha, and he gave him a bechina, and he knew all the answers in Yerideh. Then he asked them a question: what do you do when there's a machlokes between the Prima Godim and the Derech HaChaim Siddur? How do you paskin? So his father didn't know what the answer is supposed to be. So he said, the truth? He said, I don't know what the answer is supposed to be. I personally would follow the Derech HaChaim Siddur. Because the Prima Godim always has a shtickle turd, and then he tells you, look over there. What he wrote over there, look over there, has a shtickle turd. He says, look over there. And then he said, look over there. And then he finally tells you, look over here. You go back in a circle, and you don't know whether you're coming or going. He raises all the issues. You don't know what the maskana is. So he says, the Derech HaChaim Siddur just tells you A, B, C. Just tells you what the din is. So he says, I personally would follow the Derech HaChaim Siddur. So he says, that Nezer told him, young man, there is no rule, there is no klal. But he has a tradition from his father-in-law, from the Kotzke Rebbe, Sachat Shav Rebbe, Avnei Nezer was the son-in-law of the Kotzke Rebbe. So he said, has a tradition from his father-in-law, that now that Prima Godim is available, if you pask him without looking at the Prima Godim, you have a status of a Toye B'dvar Mishnah. You have to always look in the Prima Godim. You have a right to disagree with the Prima Godim. But you have to see what he has to say. That's what it says in the Hakdamah to the Sefer Dagon Matirosh, I think it's called. So we pointed out that that's problematic, that every so often there's a tshuva in Avnei Nezer. He writes, the Shoyl asked him about a Prima Godim, and says, Ein darki l'ayin b'Prima Godim. He writes, I never looked at a Prima Godim. So how can it be? If he himself told over this young guy, that it has the status of a Toye B'dvar Mishnah if you don't look at people. So something is fishy over here. Something is incorrect. Anyway, so that the Lashon over here is Moshe Rabbeinu is instructed to have Shtei Chatzetzus Kesef for the double purpose, L'mikro Ha'eda, to gather together. Mikro means Kruei Ha'eda, to gather together. Well, the Masa is Hamachanos. When they would blow Chatzetzus, they would know that they're leaving to a new location. And then it says, "Chisavoy mechamal biartzachem, ala tzar tzar hariyosem mechatzoytzus." You have to blow truah. Yom simchas madech moshe chashiyechem miskaitem mechatzoytzus. You have to blow tkiya. Truah represent different phases of people's lives. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said over in the name of the Darshanim. Maybe it's from the Zohar. I don't know. He said truah is a kol pashut du. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elkim Asas Adam Yashar. The Pasuk says in Koheles, God created man straight. V'heim Abikshu Cheshbonos Rabim. And people ruin their lives. So when a person does Averis, he chops up his life, he makes it like Truot. Tu, 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 tu. He's no longer a unified personality. He's all broken up. So when you have a Muhammad, then you have a Yosef Mechatzoses. When you have Tzoris, things are not going smoothly. So then the Iker is to blow the Truot. And if Yamsam Chas Ma'adechem, the sky Tamachatzot, you blow Tkiyah. It's the truth of the matter, you always blow Tkiyah, true Tkiyah. You always blow both. But on Yamsam Chasm, the Iker is the Tkiyah, and if it's Mechama v'yatzachem, then the Iker is the Truah. So the Pasuk says, V'yom simchaschem v'ma'adechem roshach hatshechem v'anyam metoivim v'skaitem achatzeitzus in conjunction with the hakrobas hakarbonis, with the musafim. Alo lasechem alziv chashamechem v'hoyo lachem l'zikaron lefnei alokechem. The purpose of the tkiyas chatzeitzus is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember us l'toivo. So that's the tefillah of Yalla B'Yavoy. Yalla B'Yav Zichanein Fikdanenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember us, was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, we assume, for Ma'adechem of Rosh HaShechem. That's the whole purpose of the Tkiyas Chatzaisis, is V'nisvoy Lachem Lizikar Lefnei Elokechem. So that's why we say Yalla B'Yav Zichanein Fikdanenu. On Shabbos, you don't say Yalla V'Yavoy, because there was not Tkiyas Chatzaitzus on Shabbos. You look in the Mishnah and Erechin. Mishnah and Erechin tells you which days of Yom Tov they had Tkiyas Chatzaitzus, doesn't say Shabbos. The Sifrei says, and this Pasuk, Yom Simchas Me'elu Shabbosis. But the Mishnah doesn't agree with this Sifrei. The Mishnah clearly assumes on Shabbos they did not blow Chatzaitzus, only when there's a Chi of Simcha. When there's a Chi of Simcha, so you blow Chatzaitzus for the purpose of Oyel Lacham Dizikorn Lefnei Alakechem. Years ago, the Ramo quotes an old minhag from the days of the Maharil. Maharil is quoting for the Bali HaTosfos. Then we had Yontav Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, and they would say Yalla V'Yavoy in the Shmona Esrei of Ma'ariv and Shachris and Mincha. Musaf, you don't say Yalla V'Yavoy. Ma'ariv, Shachris, and Mincha. So when it would be Yontav Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, they would say, Zachayin Tov, B'yom HaShabbos HaMarach HaZeh, B'yom Chag HaShabuos HaZeh. They would mention Shabbos also. So in the Siddur Oitzah Tfilos, they have Haoris on the Siddur written by Rabbi Shai Berlin, the one who wrote all the Marmakimus and the Gemara. He wrote some of the Marmakimus. The original Marmakimus are written by Rabbi Shua Boaz. He put in the Aymishpat, Ner Mitzvah, and the Masoras HaShas, and the Torah Or. And sometimes you have in the Masoras HaShas, you have in brackets, so those were added on by Rabbi Shai Berlin. He was a contemporary of Nadi Behuda. They used to correspond together. So in the Siddur, it's Atfilis, they have his Oras. He has this Kasha. He doesn't understand how could there have been such a practice of the Bali HaTosfos to mention Shabbos and Yalla V'Yavoy, but you don't blow Chatzaitzis. The whole Yalla V'Yavoy is based on Tekiyas Chatzaitzis. And according to the Mishnahs, you don't blow Chatzaitzus on Shabbos. So how does Shabbos come into Yalla V'Yavoy? You don't say Yalla V'Yavoy on Shabbos, and when it's Yom Tov B'Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, there's no reason you should mention Shabbos. So that's Mishnah Berurah says that today nobody does it. Nobody has that meaning anymore to mention Shabbos. But the Ramah records it, that they used to mention Shabbos in the middle of Yalla V'Yavoy, in the Shmona Esrei, in the benching knot. The Maril explains why. In the benching, you're going to say Yalla V'Yavoy Ritzei, and that's it. You're not going to go back to the fact that it's Shabbos. So you mention Shabbos in Ritzei, then Yalla V'Yavoy. You don't mention Shabbos anymore, you're finished. But in the Shmona Esrei, we're going to end off Mekadosh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Hazman. We're going to return back to the fact that it's Shabbos. So even when you say Yalla V'Yavoy, when you're talking about Yom Tov, you should mention Shabbos there again, because we keep on adding on things in parentheses. Whenever it's Yom Tov Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, in the middle of Yalla V'Yavoy, should also say. So Rabbi Shai Berlin asked this kasha, but there's no Tkiyas Chatzaitzus on Shabbos. So why should you mention Shabbos in the middle of Yalla V'Yavoy? So there's a question that Rav Soloveitchik would discuss on different occasions. When you have Yom Tov Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, do we assume that the two blend in to be one new hyphenated Kedushas Hayoyim of Shabbos Yom Tov hyphenated together, or Rosh Chodesh Shabbos? They blend in to be one Kedushas Hayom, or should we assume that it's one Kedushas Hayom superimposed upon the other, and they're not related to each other? Like Nagaz Ebezer, they have no shaychus with each other. So I saw, next week I'm planning to travel to, we're going to go to Moscow, then we're going to be touring in St. Petersburg. So I was looking through the tshuvas of Rabbi Tzvi Petterburg. He has an interesting tshuva, Halacha Lemaisa. When a woman benches licht, so the Bahag is of the opinion that it becomes Tosafi Shabbos Bal Korchai for the whole family. No one's allowed to do any malacha after the woman benches licht on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov yet. So we really don't hold like that Bahag. So one half of what the Bahag says we don't hold at all. that it's challah to sefer Shabbos of all the members in the family that night. But when you get to the woman herself, lachatchila v'choshish for the bahag, that for the woman it is to sefer Shabbos, unless it's a big shas atchak, so then she should have in mind that she's not mekabel Shabbos, not mekabel yontiv, so it won't be. But it's only b'shas atchak, and shlo b'shas atchak, you should be choshish for the bahag zepin. Every time they quote the Bahag as saying something out of the ordinary, like if you left out one day from the Sfira, you can continue to count. So all the Rishonim disagree. So they say, we don't want to contradict the Bahag. So if you continue, you should continue to count, but you don't say the Bracha. Or the Bahag came up with his Chiddush that a woman cannot be Yotzei a man with Mikra Megillah. Those things, it's against the Gemara. But we don't want to violate the Sheet of the Bahag because he was from the days of the Goyim. Okay. So half of what the Bahag said, we don't accept at all. And when the woman ventures lichitz kabbalas to sefer Shabbos bal korcha for all the bnei abayis that night, but for the woman herself, that b'choshish for the Bahag. So, but if it's a shas hatchak and the woman made it tonight, okay. So then we don't observe the Bahag. But what if it's erev yontav and many women have the practice that they say she'echiyano when they bench lichitz she'echiyano? That's the original gemara that the Bahag based it on. That's the one erev and daf mem and base. The Gemara says once you say Shachyanu, the Gemara there is talking about Shachyanu on Leil Yom Kippur. So if you're going to say Shachyanu on erev Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, do you have to say Shachyanu ala kos or not? So the Gemara says no. The maskan Shachyanu amra afila bashuk. You can say Shachyanu as you're walking in the street. If you save the Shachyanu to recite it at the end of the kiddush, you enhance the chashivas of the bracha because he converted into a bracha ala kos. But if he says Shechianu Shalom Alakos, it's also good b'dievet. So the women have the practice, it's not really right. Rabbi Kevege refers you to the Chulas of Yankov Emden. The more correct is the women should not cheat themselves. Why should they say Shechianu when they bench lich? They should wait to be Yotze Shechianu Alakos. The Alayayin will enhance the Hashivas that Shechianu. The women feel as if we're cheating them. We're taking away their Shechianu. They're cheating themselves, that they make their Shechianu cheaper. The men say Shachyanu Malakos, the women should also be Yotze Shachyanu Malakos. So the original Gemara that the whole Bahag was based on is the Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem and base. The Gemara says, why can't you say Shachyanu on Leil Yom Kippur Alakos? The Gemara says, because someone has to drink it. If you don't drink it, so it's not called the Brach Alakos. You have to have a Jewish person drink it. So the Gemara says to give it to a child who's going to eat anyway. Gemara said that's a very bad chinuch. Kid is going to grow up. He's going to remember. The rabbi always used to give me the wine on Leil Yom Kippur. He's going to continue to drink the wine. So that's not a smart idea. Then the Gemara says, say Shachyan on Erev Yom Kippur and drink the kos and then be mekabel yontav after you drink. Gemara says, no. Once you say Shachyanu, it's kabbalas tosefes Yom Kippur bal korchai. So the Bahag understood the same is true regarding hadlakas haneris. And all the Rishonim disagree. Hadlakas haneris is something you do in preparation in advance of Shabbos. It does mean that the Shabbos Shachyanu can only be on Yontif. Once you say Shachyanu, it is Yontif. You're going to make a Tanai and Abakal Yontif, means that Shachyanu is a bracha levatol. So that's the original Gemara. So Bitzla Peterburger points that out. That if a woman benches licht on Erev Yontif and says Shachyanu, he doesn't go into it whether it's right or wrong to say Shachyanu. That's Rabbi Kevege quotes that from Rabbi Yankov Emden. It's more correct not to be Yotzei Shachyanu b'shas hadlakas haneris, but to wait for Kiddush. But he says if a woman benches licht and she says Shachyanu, so it's tosefes Yontif bal korcha. So he has a shaila, what if it's Yontif shecholiyos b'shabbos and the woman benches licht and she says Shachyanu, so it's chal tosefes but she doesn't want to be mekabel Shabbos. She wants to cook. On Yontav, you're allowed to cook Ochel Nefesh. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to cook Ochel Nefesh. She wants to split. She wants to be mekabel Yontav now. She says Shechyanu, but she's not ready to be mekabel Shabbos till another 5 minutes. She has to cook some more. Can you split or not? So he's mesupik. L'chore, that's exactly the suffix. When you have Yontav, Shecholiyos b'Shabbos, that the two blend in to constitute one kedusha sayayim of Shabbos Yontav hyphenated, or they say no, ha'aduchu dekoy ve'ha'aduchu dekoy. Each one is independent. One kedusha sayayim is superimposed over the other. So you said Shachyani and mekabel Yontav, but you're not mekabel Shabbos. You're not necessarily mekabel Shabbos. So the chora that's what he's mesupik about, where the Yontav shecholiyos b'Shabbos is two kedusha sayayim are one. The Gemara has a strange comment in Perek called Kisvi HaKodesh and Masechet Shabbos, 24 Prokem on Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara says that we usually assume that there are five Chumashim. Chamish or Chumash Yeter, that's where the word Chumash comes from. Chumash is one-fifth. So the Gemara says, we paskan that there are seven Chumashim. We really should have a different word. There are seven Svarim because Bamidbar is divided into three. From the beginning of the Midbar till Vahibat Sahar, Vahibat Sahar Rain, and then till the end. Vahiham Hisanim till the end. So Bamidbar is divided into three. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Mishle, Chachmas Bansa Beisa Chatzva Abuneh Hoshiva. That the Chachmas HaTorah is based on seven Svarim. And Sefer Bamidbar is three, up until Vahibat Sahar, the two Psukim. So the Gemara says, this is how we got the idea. There are 85 letters in these two psukim. So pei hei oisius. If you have a whole sefer, treyosa, sefer Yeshaya, everything is rubbed out, but you have remaining 85 letters, it still retains the Kedushas Kisvi HaKadosh. If it has less than 85 letters, it does not have Kedushas HaKadosh, because the smallest sefer in Tanakh is this sefer with the nunim hafuchim before and after. Dr. Lim once said over at a meeting of Rabbein, he said over a very fascinating comment from the Yalkut Toru Uveni. Yalkut Shimoni quotes all the normal Midrashim. Yalkut Toru always quotes some out of the irregular Midrash. So he said, Nun in Aramaic is a fish. Nun Hofoch represents a fish that swims against the tide. So there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that the kosher fish, how do you determine whether the fish are kosher, has to have fins and scales. So Mikra didn't even have one scale, it's already kosher. It doesn't have to be coated with scales. But the Gemara says at one point, the idea is that if the kosher fish is coated with scales all over, so it's protected from the salt water in the ocean, so the kosher fish have the ability to swim against the tide. And the fish that the kosher fish have a spine, they have a backbone, and they're protected with scales. And the trefa fish, sometimes they don't have a spine, and sometimes they don't have scales. So the Yalkut Reveni says that that's the symbol of the Jewish people, that they are nunim hafuchim, they swim against the tide. The Orthodox Jews are always going against the tide. Everybody's going one way. Remember when we visited the Vatican City, we had a whole tour. So we asked the tour guide, are we going to go to a church? He said, no, you don't go to a church. We're walking, and then we finally come. You have to go through the church there at the end. So the guy didn't realize. He wasn't thinking. So we said, we're going to walk out the other way. So everybody was walking in the entrance, and we were walking out the end. Literally. We were going against the time. So the Gemara says that these two psukim constitute a sefer bifnei atzma. We have shishi over there. But even so, Haran, it's printed shishi. So some of the achranim say it's not right. Shishi should really be a few psukim before a pasuk chav tes. You shouldn't have it over here, because the minig is that you don't begin or end an aliyah if you can avoid it. You're not beginning or end aliyah with a davar ra. And Rashi quotes from the Medrash, the nunim hafuchim Allah hafsig ben poronus liporonus, that the last pasuk before v'yimin zoharonin says benosam bin amachne, that after Maimon Hatzina was over, everybody ran away. Kitina kaparech mibeis ha-sefer. They didn't want to stay longer at Maimon Hatzina. So that was a Puranus. And then the Misoninim, that for sure was a Puranus. So it's not right to end an aliyah with bin Osam, with the words bin Osam bin Amach. So some Achranim say, more correct is you should have Shishi earlier in the set. You shouldn't have it over there. Yeah, but what does it mean that these two psukim are a sefer bifna? Even Sohar and Avinucha Yamar means that the ability of the Torah to travel. The Jews have traveled all over the world, and we observe, Orthodox Jews observe all the dinim. And different countries you have to observe a little differently based on the circumstances. So that's this is considered, these two psukim are sefer bifna yatsma. That the Torah can travel to different continents and different generations. And Vinucha Yama, traveling and observing the Torah. Then there's a whole trouble that people are complaining. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Esvili Shivimish, he should put together a Sanhedrin. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out the first Yotzei Drasha that he gave, which he wrote up in Hapardes, it's printed. He said there are two parshias of Sanhedrin Gdolah. One is here, Bahalo Ischa, Eswali Shemish. The other one is in Parshas Shoftim. It says, Kipolim and Chadov la Mishma, Midam la Dam, Midin, and Kam Tav Alis ala Mokam, Vosal Akar, and Malavim, Allah Shem Shiva Yamahim. And whatever they pass, and whatever the Bezna Gdolah pass, and is binding on everybody. No one's allowed to pass against them. So he pointed out that there are two inyonim of Bez Nagol. One is that they are the Supreme Court for Paskanim Shailas, that's in Parsha Shaiftim. And here it says, Esrili Shivim Hashesha Yadaita, Gehem Zikne Ha'om Mishotrop, that they are the leaders of the Jewish people. So he showed that in the Rambam and in the Gemara, sometimes when you need Das HaKohol, so when the Bez Nagol approves something, it's considered as if you have, they represent, like Congress represents the Tzibur. So the Bez Nagol represents Klal Yisrael. They don't represent Klal Yisrael when they pass Kanshal. The pass Kanshal is they represent the Torah. That has nothing to do with the Klal Yisrael. But when you need Kibush Rabim, certain cases, when you need Das HaTzibur and you do Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Shana, so that you need Haskamas HaTzibur, so the Bez Nagol represents Das HaKol. Ephraim Zalman Margolius has a hesped that's printed. I already forgot who it was about. He points out the difference between Eldon and Meidod and the other Shivim Zikanim who were chosen. It says, V'yaltzalt bin haruach asher alecho v'asher ben haruach hanavuah, and that ruach hanavuah spread. But there was a difference between the Shivim Zkenim that their Nevuah came Mikorach Moshe Rabbeinu as opposed to Eldad and Meidad. They weren't there. So they had independent Nevuah. What was the difference? The Shivim Zkenim says Vayisnabo V'lo Yosafu. So it means that they did not, they're two pshotim. So Rashi writes one pshat, quotes from the Sifrei, "Lenisnabe elos hayom b'olvad." Only on that day they had nevuah. They didn't continue to be nevim, but all the neveidot, he says, Unkelus doesn't learn like that. But Rashi quotes from the Sifrei like that, and all the neveidot, vayisnabe b'machane, they continued to have nevuah even the next day. So apparently the shivim zkenim vayotze melaruach asher alecha. They got the Kerach and Nevuah from Moshe Rabbeinu, so only calls man on that occasion. And the next day, they didn't have Kerach and Nevuah. Elder Nemeid had an independent Kerach and Nevuah. So Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius has a comment on the Novi. It's one of the Haftarahs that when Eliyahu Novi was going to go up in a fiery chariot, so Elisha asks him, Elisha requests of him, Pishnaim Biruchacha. So the question is, he wants to have the double portion. Wants to have double portion. That's wild. A chutzpah. So the conservatives published the whole essay. No, pishnaim, really. The b'chor gets pishnaim. Does mean that he gets a double portion. I don't know if they said the din was changed, but pishnaim means two-thirds. Pishnaim, what do they say? That originally the law was changed by it. Originally the law was this apikursis. Originally the din was that the b'chor gets two-thirds of the Yerushan. Then if you have 10 children, so the b'chor gets two-thirds and everybody else divides one-third. Then the rabbi saw it's not fair, so they changed it. So they said that he gets pishnayim. He only gets like two children. He only gets two shares, a double share, but he doesn't get two-thirds. How do you know that the word pishnayim means two-thirds? Because how can it be that Elisha Novi asks for twice the kerach and the vua of Eliyahu Novi? That's a chutzpah. So mazbe he has pishnayim, he wants two-thirds. No, but the Chazal say not so. Chazal say that the din always was that the b'chor gets pishnayim. He gets two shares, and Elisha Novi requested twice the Kerach HaNevuah of Eliyahu Novi. And the Gemara says it was granted to him because Eliyahu Novi was Mechayev one mace and Elisha was Mechayev two mace. That's how the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. Does that make sense that he should get twice the Kerach HaNevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu of Eliyahu Novi? So what did Eliyahu Novi respond to him? He said, there's going to be a fiery chariot. I'm going to go up to heaven in the fiery chariot. If you will be watching, when I go up in that chariot and you won't faint, then your request will be granted. But if you'll faint like all the others, then your request will not be granted. So then it says that Elisha Navi was watching when Elisha Navi went up in the fiery chariot. And the next day, all the B'nai HaNavim were asking, where's Elisha Navi? Everybody fainted. They couldn't figure out what's going on. And Elisha didn't faint. So Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Golda says, because the Koach HaNavuah of the other Talmidim, Talmidei HaNavim, their Koach HaNavuah was Mekoach Eliyahu HaNavi. So once Eliyahu HaNavi is no longer here, so they didn't have a Koach HaNavuah anymore, so they all fainted. So that's what Eliyahu answered Elisha. If you will faint when I go up to heaven, then that's an indication that your Koach HaNavuah comes from me, so you can't exceed. You can't have a greater Koach HaNavuah than I had. So you can't get Tishnai. But if you will watch as I go up to heaven and you will not faint, all the others will faint. If you will not faint, that'll be an indication that you have an independent Koach HaNevuah. So I give you a bracha, you should have twice as much as I have. So the bracha was fulfilled, the Gemara said. He was Mechai Tumes. So that's where Ephraim Zalman Golda has a hesped for somebody. I forgot who died. And he links it with the Elder and the Maidan as opposed to the other Shivim Zakenim. The Shivim Zakenim was Vial Tzalt Ben Aruch Asher Alecha Der Koach HaNevuah was Mikoach Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's why it's Nabu V'lo Yosofu, only that day and the next day not. And Elder and Maidan, they had independent Koach HaNevuah. Parsha has that people were complaining. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara. The people were complaining. They were not happy about Arayis. So the Gemara says in Perek Rab Lezer the Milah. That's one of the 24 prokim of Masechus Shabbos. The Gemara says when the mitzvah of Milah was given to Avram Avinu, he was in Kabul B'Simcha. So because in the very beginning, when the mitzvah was given, it was mekabel b'simcha, adai mikayim emosa b'simcha. So whenever you have a bris, they throw a party. We just had a bris this morning, and the Baal HaBris made a whole party. And Arayis, they were belly aching. Berch on the mishpachos, they were unhappy. So that's why in lekek suba de la rami beitigra. Whenever there's a wedding, so there's always a machlokes. Some fella came to my home last night, we were filling out the tanoim and the ksuba, the wedding's going to be next Sunday. And everything is with machlokes. Everything is with machlokes, unfortunately. That's it, because in the very beginning, they were complaining about Iskia Arayis. So the Maharal Prague has, in his commentary on Rashi, on the Gur Aryeh, he has a famous comment over here that the Shev Shmaitzer quotes in the Hakdamah to his Sefer. In the Hakdamah to the Shev Shmaitzer, he has Dibri Agoda. He said that was the meaning that everybody writes a Sefer on Halacha, so you write a Hakdamah of Agartha. He quotes the Maharal Prague on the Pasuk, Berch on the Mishpachosav, what were they complaining about? Iske Arayis. Isn't there a din of Gersh and Isgar Kotten Shinola Dami? So the Oli Arayis Amuta? Moshe Rabbeinu already made the Gzera de Rabbanim. No, the Gzera de Rabbanim is introduced in later generations. So how come they were complaining? Al Iske Arayis. So that's his famous comment. He says it must be that Gershon is Karkashal Adami only applies to all other Gerim except for Maimon Hasina. It didn't apply to Maimon Hasina. Why not? Why didn't it apply to Maimon Hasina? See, he gives a very strange explanation. He says that it was a Geris Bal Korcha because it was Kafaleim Arke Gigas. So then you don't apply Gershon is Karkashal Adami. So that's very difficult to understand. Well, why should that be the case? So others give other suggestions why. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a whole fantastic explanation. I spoke about it when we were learning Chumash Mos, maybe because it was in one big national gerus, so everybody all together. So when you have a gerus and his gayer, one person is megayer one day, the other person is megayer the next day. So when the first one is megayer, so one is Jewish and one is not Jewish. So that's a cloud we learn from Sukkim. There can't be any korva between a Jew and a non-Jew. But here, where it's one national gerus, everybody was Megayer at the same time. So there was no period of time that one member, one person was Jewish and one person was not Jewish. They were all non-Jews, and then they all became Jewish. So then you don't apply Katan Shanala Dami. Others give different explanations, but that's a famous Maral Miprag. Then the Parsha you also have, very unclear, Moshe Rabbeinu encourages Yisro that he should come with them. They're going to enter Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. Come with us. Come with us. So he says, then he says again, no, I'll not tell us about the son, that he offers him the same thing. We'll give you a chelik. That's what he offered him the first time. What did he add on the second time? The Mefarshim all ask, what is added over here? In chapter Yud, in Bahalo Yischa, Perek Yud, in Pasuk Chavtes, Moshe Rabbeinu offers, L'choy ton v'hitav nuloch. Then in Pasuk Lamed Beis, V'hoi kiselich imanu the second time, V'hoi akatoba ha'ho atoba hu ha'sheyeta v'ashem imanu, exactly word for word, the same as the first pasuk. So what did he add on in the second pasuk that wasn't there in the first pasuk? He turned it on the second time also. It's very unclear. What was added on in the second pasuk? So that's what the Ramban suggests. The first time they told them, we'll give you Veitav Noloch, we'll treat you very nicely with respect and we'll give you a parnasa, okay. But he said, nothing doing. I won't get any chelik in Eretz Yisrael. So the second time around, he says, no, v'hitav nuloch, we will give you a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. And he still turns it down. Now he says he wants to go to be megar b'nei mishpacht. He wants to go back to his original non-Jewish family. There's a story about the two brothers, the Rebbe Rav Shmelke from Nikolsburg, and his brother was the author of the Haflor, or both Talmidim of them as Rich Magid. They're both Hasidushin, and they both at the same time they both got positions by Yekes. The Haflor got a position in Frankfurt. He was the rabbi in Frankfurt, and the Rebbe Rav Shmelke was in Nikolsburg. Nikolsburg, I think, was Austria. They weren't at all Yekes. They were Hasidushin. So that's a parsha b'fnei atzma. How did that happen? After a while, their children married each other. Cousins, first cousin married each other. So one of them said by the Sheva Brochas, the meaning is, you have a machlokes by a chasana, but they love each other. They got along very well. So one of them said, the meaning is, you got to pick a fight. So he's going to pick a fight. So he says, I got the better deal in the shidduch, because my brother is a bigger tzaddik and a bigger talmid chacham, and I hold that I got the better deal, the better half of the deal. And their brother disagreed. He said, no, I got the better half of the deal. Because my brother, you, are the bigger tzaddik and the bigger tamcha. So if that's what they're fighting about, that's wonderful. That's kedai to mention when you have a shever brachas. You have to be yotzei to have a, in case they didn't have any machlekes yet. Usually there's a lot of machlekes that went. In case there's no machlekes, so they should fight about that, who got the better half of the deal. Okay. I think the OU is having some kind of a panel discussion of kashrus today. We've got to find out what exactly we're going to talk about. Anybody know what room it is?
In the cafe. In the
across the street?